Jesus Christ. I want to talk about an elephant today. I learned something about elephants. Elephants only grow 4 feet. 2 in the front and 2 in the back. Thank you, Lego Man. That's where I picked that one. No, the reason why that dad joke is so timely with elephants is that I was thinking back this week to a time in my sophomore year, sophomore English class in Reno, Nevada, at Galena High School. I don't know if I quite remember my teacher's name, but we'll protect the innocent or not so innocent. But we were talking about, in our English class, some of the various different world religions. And we were finishing up that part of our coursework, and we were given this example of a couple blind men who were trying to feel an elephant. And how they described the elephant was based on what part of the elephant they felt. So, like, for example, one blind man feels one of the elephant's legs, and it's wide and it's strong. And so, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this because I don't remember exactly. I tried to find it, but I didn't find it this week. But the blind man who hugs the elephant's leg says, "Oh, the elephant's like a tree trunk." And another blind man that tries to hug its trunk says, no, the elephant's like a snake," or something. You know, the blind man that's at the elephant's tail says it's like something else. And then the blind man that feels the elephant's ear says, "No, the elephant feels like this." And the point of that whole section on our religious course was that we're all blind people, and God is the elephant, and we're all trying to do the best that we can trying to describe God. Meaning that the teaching and the application of that, the point there trying to drive home was that nobody knows really who God is. And because of that, there's just multiple ways to God. That is, friends in Christ, one of the prevailing notions in our society today. Is there's so many different ways to God. And another prevailing notion is that if you don't believe that, you are intolerant and full of hate, because how dare you as Christians believe that Jesus is the only way to God, and Jesus is the only way to salvation. There is some truth to the fact that we don't know a whole lot about God. But we do, but actually, I would say, as Christians, here enters Exhibit A, Jesus Christ, God incarnate. And what we know about God has fully been revealed through Him. And so, when he says, as he's traveling, he's questioned. In Luke 13, somebody asks him this question: "Will those who are saved be few?" My initial response lately is, boy, it sure seems like that. Will those who are saved be few? But Jesus doesn't necessarily directly answer by giving a specific number or telling the person, "Oh yes, you're spot on, you're so right, it's not going to be a lot of people." Instead, he just talks about how to get there, how to be saved. And he warns the person, be careful to enter in through the narrow door. Who is that door? Jesus. I want to say something to you that might seem like so obvious. Remember, like, in the 90s, like, I did because I grew up in the 90s. My kids would be like, duh. I want to share something with you that should be, well, duh. But it's kind of not anymore. I wish it was duh still, but it's not anymore. You are not full of hatred. And you are not intolerant because you believe in Jesus Christ. You are not full of hatred and intolerance because you want to strive to follow His ways. You are not hateful and intolerant because you believe that Jesus is the only salvation from hell. You're not. What makes you hateful and intolerant could be how you treat others who think, believe, and look differently from you. But your belief does not make you intolerant. So you're not. And let's face it. What should people actually expect from us? If they're offended by your belief, if they're offended by your Christianity, if they're offended that you as a Christian believe in Jesus Christ, let them be offended. Why should they be surprised that a Christian believes that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? I'm not surprised that there's Mormons who believe in Mormonism. I'm not surprised there's Muslims who follow Islam. So when we talk about tolerance in this world, know that the idea of tolerance was actually brought into this world by Christians, by Christ followers. When I hear this word tolerance, I think of the movie The Princess Bride. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Viggo Montoya is next to Fassini with this bad guy. Fassini always says that things are inconceivable. And Viggo Montoya says, you keep on using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. When I hear culture rail against Christianity and say you're not being tolerant, you're not practicing tolerance, I want to say, you keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. We as Christians do tolerate people who are different from us. That's what Jesus said when He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Right? So, I want to just establish that you are not intolerant for holding on to the one true faith. After all, our whole entire worldview is predicated on the fact that there is one God, and the reason for so much human suffering and the brokenness is because there is a lack of God in people's lives. We reject Him. We have a God-shaped hole in our hearts that no matter what we try to fill it with, we just continuously feel empty without God. And so if God is the solution to filling that emptiness, if the source of our brokenness and the source of us being lost is because we need God after rejecting Him, but it's only logical to think that salvation can come from believing in God. Well, Pastor, okay, I get that. But, you know, what about the elephant? How do we know that Jesus is the one true God? All of the stories that we read in the Old Testament, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, King David, we are looking at the lineage of how God has passed down His line, the promise to Eve, that salvation would come from her flesh. That salvation, that the Savior would be born of a woman. And so we're seeing the generations, the stories of how that line is getting passed down. Sure, not everybody is directly a descendant of Christ. Moses is in the family, but Christ did not descend from Moses. And yet he's still an important character, right? He as Moses brought the law, Christ brings the gospel. But furthermore, too, when you look objectively in history, our culture and our society is largely shaped on, it's the argument of Athens and Jerusalem. We have a little bit of Greek philosophy that shapes our mindset and our worldview, Plato and Socrates and the like. But Jesus and the church is why we no longer tolerate slavery. It's why we no longer tolerate hatred. Racism is largely condemned by the church and Christianity. A lot of the things that are broken are healed by Christ. Did you hear the hymns today? In Christ there is no East or West. In Christ there is no race. Because the Apostle Paul said, in Christ there is no Greek or Jew. We're all the same under Christ's grace. So we look at this text here, and Jesus says, be careful to enter into the narrow door. Says, I tell you, many will seek and they will not, they will seek to enter and they will not be able. I am surprised at the amount of Christians that I hear today who actually, who confess, I don't believe that anybody is going to be condemned. But if you believe in Jesus and you take this man at his words, you take the Son of God at his words, he says, many are going to try to enter, and they will not. Many will have eaten and drank in his presence and say, Jesus, you taught in our streets. We heard you teach. They say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, you workers of evil. And he says, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he says that you will see the saints coming from all over the world, from the east and the west, entering in and being at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus, right there, celebrating in the kingdom. And he goes on. And he says, and behold, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. Why is that such an important statement for Jesus to stick on the back end of that? You do believe, and you are right in your belief. We have this history of that has been written down and passed down through the ages, that points to Christ being the Messiah. You have the Holy Spirit that speaks directly to you. And when I talked about us being largely, by us being influenced by the Greeks, as well as Jesus, there is more evidence for the existence of Jesus of Nazareth than there is of Plato and Socrates existing. There is more evidence that Jesus existed and walked the earth. I'm not saying that Plato and Socrates didn't exist. I'm just saying that if you run into somebody that says Jesus of Nazareth was not real, you have run into a fool. That's not somebody who is worth listening to. That is not someone who can teach you something about the Lord. Jesus of Nazareth is real, and he walked in this world. The question is, Who do you say that he is? Jesus' disciples promised, believing that he was the Messiah, said, Lord, we will never forsake you. And yet that night when he was betrayed and arrested, his disciples fled, scared for their lives, knowing what would await Jesus after he was arrested. Peter denied his Lord 3 times. What happened? What changed? What made the man named Saul become the Apostle Paul? Saul persecuting the Christians, throwing them in jail. He was there when a Christian named Stephen was stoned to death. Paul was holding the coats for everybody else as they were throwing stones at Stephen, watching him die. What changed? Peter and the rest of the apostles, especially, you know, I think those amazing words of Thomas too. They saw the resurrected Lord after he died. They witnessed that. And that's what made them willing to go and die. Doubting Thomas took a spear for his Lord. That's not doubting Thomas anymore. That's a faithful Thomas. Thomas who proclaimed seeing the Lord's hands, my Lord and my God. Christ, the evidence is there that Christ rose again from the dead. And therefore, he is God, the Son of God. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, but hung on the cross, did not want such a glorious death as his Lord, and so he asked to be hung upside down. What changed? Paul, who persecuted the church, what changed? He saw the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. So Jesus is God and the Son of God. Therefore, it is only logical and reasonable for us to believe that the salvation that comes from God comes from Jesus Christ alone. Does that offend you? Does that scare you? Because we all have people in our lives who we love and cherish who don't believe. Here's the good news in the hope. You do not want your loved ones to go to hell. Live the gospel. Breathe the gospel. Pray for their souls. Pray for you as their witness. And don't be afraid to share it. And know that Jesus Christ, who died for you and died for the sins of the world, loves your loved ones even more than you do. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to give life into the world. And so, if you don't like the prospect that there's people who are going to go to hell, don't whitewash or water down our truth, because that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help anybody. I may not like who reigns over us in the United States or in our state. I may not appreciate who we've elected. I may not like that they exist. But it doesn't change the fact that they do exist. It doesn't change the fact that they were duly elected, right? We might not like the fact that there's judgment. And yet, look at the grace. It doesn't change the fact that we have a God who is just, but look at the grace that he offers and be ready to share that. Because when Jesus said many are going to come from the east and the west, he was thinking about you. Because we are way far west of Jerusalem. He's called us into his kingdom. And I'm looking around. And there's different hues and shades. We all have different various pigments in our skin color too, don't we? I've got plenty of freckles. Maybe one day I'll get enough freckles here where I'll look tan, right? It doesn't matter. We are all Christian. We are all children of God, saved by grace and faith in Jesus Christ. We've been called to share this wonderful gift too. Not only have we been called into God's kingdom and salvation, we've been called to share this gift in the hopes that those we love, those we meet, those who we develop relationships with, they too will be able to recline at the table with us, with our Lord. Don't compromise the truth, but live it. Don't just hold on to God's grace yourself, but share it. Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And he conquered your death and lived everlasting life. Share that good news. Amen. May the peace of God will surpass all understanding, guard your hearts and minds, and keep them from now to life everlasting. Amen.